Today on the show, our headline for this week is the Office What's New Management Controls. We've got some stuff on e-discovery for Yammer, which is awesome to see, and a bunch of controls for Microsoft Teams. Let's get into it, Daniel.
Let's go.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
Yeah. I'm still playing around with these controls and trying to get things automated. Good now, everyone. Right now, wherever and whenever you are. Hi, I'm Daryl. And
I'm Daniel. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the new year, everyone.
Yes. It's Happy New Year.
Yes, it's 2020. We will not make any 2020 puns. We will just we'll just get into the year and get on with the now rather than the vision of what's ahead. Although, the Message Center is all about what's ahead, isn't it, Daniel?
It is. That's an interesting way of leading in there. But yes, it is all about what's coming. So that's what the show's all about, right? What is coming?
Yeah, that's right. Now, I did keep an eye on a few things while I was supposed to be on my break. Mm-hmm. You know, checking the messages occasionally and seeing, I wonder if anything massively interesting is going to drop during the break. But in my opinion, it was like, we've got some stuff there that we've left in for addressing today, but thank you for giving us a break over that Christmas period, that holiday period.
Yes, we appreciate our listeners and our watchers who support us all year, and we are ready now. We are refreshed and ready to have a fantastic year with you.
Hey, we're also thankful for our sponsor, and I notice you've got a Valo hoodie. I've got to see someone about that.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Valo Intranet. Like us, Valo is a huge fan of Microsoft 365 and a friend of the show. So a big thanks goes to Valo. Valo Intranet solutions leverage the best that Microsoft has to offer and can dramatically improve your internal communications with their intelligent internet solution called Valo Intranet. They can also help you take back control of your Office 365 group creation and maintenance, and a whole lot more with Valo Teamwork. Visit them at valointranet.com and book a demo or call today.
Look, thank you, Valo, again for the sponsorship and for supporting us and this crazy endeavor. We do hope too that that those who do watch and tune in do share what we're about. We're trying to let people know about what's coming in the Message Center. This is not just a show talking about new announcements and stuff. We're trying to create awareness about the challenges of trying to keep up to date as an admin and as a change manager or someone in adoption.
That's right, and I want to make sure that people know. For Valo is our wonderful sponsor for this week, and we'd love, and we'll include this link in the show notes, but please head on over to go.messagecenter.show/Valo and check out all their wonderful services. Yes, we are all about not just, hey, here's the things Microsoft has said is coming, but really helping you as a change manager, as an IT admin, as a power user that is using these services in certain ways, to understand how changes are coming and how they're going to impact you and your organization.
Yeah, and we did have a couple of friends too, Lauren Strant and Alistair Pugin, who did a good summary really of some of the frustrations of when things are coming in, even to the Message Center, to try and keep up to date, but know what should we be looking at. And like, I've got to bring one more up before we get into the messages, Daniel. I use iOS and iPad iOS, and I like the new dark mode. It's really cool. It's good to rest my eyes.
I know, but where you're going.
Yeah, you know where I'm going.
Yes.
It seems the admin app for Microsoft 365 does not like dark mode. It seems to redact everything.
Nope. It stinks. It's horrible. I tweeted about it a couple of weeks ago, I think, with a screenshot. It's really bad. You can't see any of the information. So if you're using dark mode, you can't use the admin app on the mobile, which for me, the Microsoft 365 admin app, I used it for two reasons. First reason was just on the go, knowing what's going on and being able to read messages. And then I also used it for search. If you'll remember, before Ignite, there was no search capabilities in the admin center or in the message center on the web. And so the only way you could search for messages is on the mobile. So now that we have that in the web, that's great. But the mobile app is, yeah, if you're in dark mode like me in your OS, then it won't work.
Yep. And thank you to the lovely followers and friends that reminded me that, oh, you know, well, I'm on Android. I don't have a problem. The workaround at the moment apparently is you put the dark mode, light mode button into your control center when you swipe down from iPhone or iOS, and you turn it on and off. So when you're, if you like dark mode, Perfect. You can keep it, but you need to Perfect. Turn on light mode just before you go check the admin app. Anyway, let's crack into it. We're all about giving us tips for helping us keep up to date. Oh, it's a real pity that Microsoft Teams control bar. Yeah, look at this. This is how we're doing it, people. We're capturing the full screen of Daniel, within a Teams call. But yeah, you notice how like I can click in and it disappears, but as soon as I move my mouse, it comes back. And apparently, that's just been an inconsistent experience. So
it is.
Let me just continue, and we'll just know that one of our unofficial sponsors is Microsoft Teams. First message of the day, updated feature, Kaizala administration roles. That's MC198797. What have we had up until now for administration for Kaizala? We've got two roles. We've had an admin. Oh, I guess three, I guess. You know, the global admin can do whatever they want. And then there's the user admin. And it seems that they've consolidated user admin and Kaizala admin into one role. They didn't see the need to have two separate roles.
Right. It's interesting the way Microsoft shortens this. It's just an aside note here. They call it the Kaizala administrator role. But when you go into the roles themselves, it says Kaizala admin. It's not administrator. I don't know. I know that's just a little thing. But yeah, it being able, and we're seeing this across a lot of the tools, right? Where we are getting this granular administration of the tools so that we don't have to give this global admin to give rights for people to see, to manage Kaizala or to see Office apps information. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. You know, stuff, just being able to see that. And I think this is best practice that Microsoft has communicated to us for a very long time on-prem, even. I mean, way back in the day, it's always been, don't give too much permission, only give as much as you need. Well, for so many things, we've needed to have the global admin. So it's really nice to be able to have these additional admin roles.
Yeah. And in recent times, we've seen reader roles come in too, haven't we, Daniel?
That's right.
Where you might be in one of these admin roles, but you can also benefit from being able to read settings from some of the other admin centers without having the permission to change them. So good change here. I know that some of our friends and followers sort of think, well, Kaizala, yeah, you know, they've kind of written it off because they're waiting for it to consolidate with the Microsoft Teams experience, but it still is being widely used, particularly in countries where you've got that low bandwidth and they're making use of, ease of joining by using mobile numbers.
Right.
And a quick shout out to Jamie Willis-Rose, Phil Worrell, of course, Faithful Phil. Yeah, that could be his nickname, Faithful Phil.
Faithful Phil.
Yeah. And Sebastian Levere, thanks for joining us, among others that are just quietly sitting there.
Yeah,
we like to say that there's thousands. Yeah,
they're stalking us.
That's okay. Right. Something else. It's arrived to Outlook for Androids. New feature: Discover Office Files in Outlook for Android. MC198819. I kind of wonder. Just a side comment. Now that Microsoft have made it public that they are creating, what is it, the Surface Duo, which is based off an Android OS for their new phone, will we see some favoritism towards developing for Android first? Let me just throw that out into the pigeons. Get into the pigeons.
Well, I think for features that work really well on that device?
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. Most certainly. I could definitely see that happening. And so if, for instance, if that device uses, for instance, maybe it uses Outlook web app instead of Outlook. I don't know. Probably not. I'm just kind of throwing that out there. Then most certainly I would think that it would new features would come there first. Or the Office, the Outlook for Android, the Outlook for Android app getting more features that are attuned to a device such as that, most certainly, before we would get them in the iOS or even Windows. It is totally possible.
Well, this feature that is now available in Android, I believe it was there in the Outlook app before it was Outlook app. I think it was the Sunrise app or something. No disrespect to the wherever it came from, whatever the name was, but it was something
It's been on iOS for a little while, but not too long. Remember, it was there and then it wasn't there, right? If I'm remembering this correctly, and now it's back. Yeah. And so in iOS,
yeah. So that capability of being able to see all the attachments in your email conversations, but just going to one place to discover those and to see them rather than having to remember what that message was, remember who you were talking to, that if you know the name of the document, that's yet another entry point into finding that information that you're trying to remember. So I like that. In one sense, it's aiding our mind as a Daryl graph, not a Microsoft graph, but I only remember some pieces of information to get me through to that piece of information that I really want. And now, if it's just the document that I remember, then I can go into this view and see that. It's now available in Android. So available in the search icon in the Outlook for Android app, and users will see a area for discover. Is there any screenshots? Nope. Anything to prepare for? That's interesting that they've given us some things to prepare for. Manage the Microsoft Graph settings for your tenants. I've never really heard that mentioned around search functionality for the Outlook app.
Well, managing if you've got that, you're talking about if you've got that turned off, then yeah, if you have it turned off, then it won't work because that's what it's using as the Microsoft graph.
Yeah, surely though, everything else that suggests a message, suggests a file and says, oh, look, you connect with Daniel often, so maybe you'd be interested in this document. You know, when you go to office.com and you see those suggestions, what you've been working on recently, what your contacts have been working on recently, everything else would not work as well with that turned off. So good to know that they've called it out.
Well, it's you know, we've talked about this. Some organizations don't like that, right? Don't like to have this or want to manage the rollout a little better. So they don't want to have that turned on right now, and they'll roll it out later. So they're just pointing out that is something that we, you know, just need to be watching. So this won't work along with any of the other things you're talking about if you've got the graph turned off.
Yep. So this new feed includes documents that are stored in SharePoint and OneDrive for Business. And I guess you will, of course, only see what you need to see. Actually, maybe I have got it wrong. You know, I was talking about it being, well, it probably will show you the files that are in your conversations for email, but this is actually talking about an extension of the Delve.
Yeah, it's the Discover.
It is the Discover for files.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, combination. We covered we were talking about this before in another show that, you know, showing the files that are involved in the conversation that you're having and being able to get back to that. This is talking about Microsoft Graph and the related content and discovering. Yep.
Got it. Okay. All right. Next one up, and I found this interesting because I glanced over it to start with. I saw a semi-annual channel, to be honest, and I thought, that's not my tenants. So I mean, this is probably just stuff about you know, things that are arriving finally to the semi-annual channel, and I've had it for months already. But on closer inspection, interesting. Now, this one came through 24th of December. I should have been on break, and I did glance over it. It wasn't until this week, and I was thinking, oh, I wonder what that really is. What's new? Office What's New Management adds Office Apps Admin Role Semi-Annual Channel. What a mouthful. And you can see why many of us might have glanced over it, but on closer inspection, it actually had its own session at Ignite, or it was addressed in a session at Ignite. Our friend Scott Snoll from he works in as a product marketing manager in Microsoft 365 Admin Center. He wrote a blog post on this, and the feature is all about the panel that we see when we get an update to Office, to our Office build. Whatever channel we're on, whether it be monthly or semi-annual or whatever, we get that panel and we get, this is a new feature that's arrived. This is a new thing that's happened in each of the apps. Do you find that useful, Daniel? Is it good to call out these things that are new?
Oh, I most certainly. And I will admit that I didn't used to pay much attention. You know, I got the next itis. So anything that's prompting me, I'm just going to get rid of it because I want to.
So index finger on your mouse, like next.
But whenever I, because if I'm opening up Word, I'm wanting to use Word. I don't want to read prompts. I just want to use it.
Good point.
And I think a lot of users do that. I'm opening up an Office app or whatever app it is, and if it prompts me, I'm just going to click it. Yep. And as IT people, we should know better. You know, especially around errors or anything like that, you know, what did it say? I just clicked it because I wanted to get it out of the way. Anyway, for these, I think it's nice, though, because when I started paying attention, it was actually with OneNote. I wanted some exciting, cool things about using hand gestures and using and being able to write and using the pen. I was starting to pay more attention. And so I've kind of started paying more attention for the other apps as well. So I think it is important for people to understand, oh, there's this new thing. It could be something that you know, it's taking you 4 or 5 clicks to do, and now they've made it super easy. Or it's a brand new feature that, oh, my goodness, that could really help me. And being able to see that up front, I think it is a good thing. Some users will think, oh, this is bad because it's, you know, like I said, the more prompts, the worse it is. But I think these are good. They're really trying to help you do better, you know, do your job better.
Hey, was that the What's New panel in Office for Windows or the Office MWP app, the modern web app, that you saw that panel?
Office.
Right. So what people would term as the old like Office 2016, the one that comes with the suite that is that fuller,
well,
richer experience.
Well, no, whenever. Right, whenever you're opening them up for the first time after the update. So it happens in Office, and for, you know, if you're getting that, whether you're on monthly or semi-annual, once it does the update and then you open up the Office app, then having that prompt or showing you.
Yeah, I just wondered if this was a clue to remember the Office for the desktop, the Office that was with the suite, I keep saying, not the store Windows Office OneNote app. Okay. The OneNote app that comes with Office that they said we're no longer going to develop. I wondered if this was a clue to say, well, now Daniel's starting to see that What's New panel, which is another indication. Hey, we are.
No. I want to make sure I'm clear. This was before. I mean, so I've been paying attention to this prompt for a while.
Yeah.
But what first made me pay attention was 2016, you know, Office when it was part of that. So that's
fine. Okay. Yep. That's cool. And we've got this far and we haven't mentioned the MC number. Ooh, MC 198824. Sorry, podcast listeners.
Well, this one is, it's kind of double in that being able to see the release information, but then, oh, by the way, we've got this new role, and being able to have an Office Apps admin role instead of having to get, again, I mentioned earlier, not having to give global admin for people to be able to see this.
Yep.
So now we have a new role to be able to manage this. And
do you want to have a look at it? Because, I mean, it actually is something that when I initially looked at it, oh, what do I need to do to make this happen? Because it is a preview. the feature at least, the What's New management app thing was in preview. Yeah, there is. Well, management new preview. Let's take a quick look over here. Maybe I'll put our faces on the other side. I know. Oh, come on, mouse. Come on, Bluetooth. There we go. So I'm going to show all because it's actually sitting in settings and services. Yeah, that's where it's all being consolidated. And there's a link that'll take you directly to it, but here's our Office What's New management preview. All right, I might just shift our pics over there. Okay. Now we'll just leave that over there for now. You see the build number, you'll see the apps.
Yep, and I just want to make sure, for those that are listening, this is in the Admin Center over on the left-hand side under Settings, and then Settings.
Yep.
You go
and you may need to say Show All before you see Settings.
Right. And then it's the Office What's New Management Preview. And so, yeah, I like this, being able to see the build number. So we have 1910, 1909, 1908. And for people not understanding what that is, that I didn't understand this, so maybe I'm the dumbest one in the room, but they number these based upon the month. 19 is the year, 2019, and then 10 is October. Yeah. So if it's 1910, that was the October release.
It was following the pattern for the Windows build as well.
Which it's same pattern, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess they're behind. Yeah.
It took a break.
You've taken a break. Okay, so we'll see a new build in there at some point. But, just taking a closer look at it, let's say Inkstant Replay. I just about said Inkstank. As you hover over that particular feature, you've got a couple of quick menus where you can show or hide that message. And that is one of the points of this management preview, is that if you want to slowly release something, or at least the awareness of it.
Awareness.
Then you can prevent this message from appearing in the What's New panel when when the Office build is updated out in your environment. Mm-hmm. So if we open that up, you can learn a bit more about what it is, and then some metadata around that. Remember, it is just preview, so it's kind of empty-ish at the moment in terms of a management experience. But at the moment, it's about hiding and showing. Which doesn't mean and doesn't equate to hiding and showing the actual release of the feature. This is just what appears in the What's New panel.
That's right.
Have a look at that. Give some feedback to, I think if we go back to our message center, let's do it this way because it's, oh, come on, keyboard. There we go. I think the message itself was all about giving feedback as well. So if we open that up there, here we go.
Yeah.
Oh no.
For the
additional information.
Right. Wanting, feedback. I think that the interesting thing was that additional information for this announcement takes us to the admin role descriptions.
Rather than the blog post.
Right. It does.
Yeah.
So that's interesting.
Blog post was more useful. Moving along again. We've got to shift it along a lot faster, actually. So updated feature consent flow for custom Kaizala actions. If you have used Kaizala.
MC198974.
Yeah. Thank you for helping me with that flow. Thumbs up. Like that one. The action center at the bottom of a group chat that you can create jobs, you can set tasks and various things. Some of those actions may require you to sign in, or some of you might need you to share your location, certain personal information. I think this is maybe an action or a development around Kaizala, just trying to make you a bit more aware that you are sharing a bit more information. Do you want to consent to this? Is how I understand this update.
Yep, that's right. If you want to, it's just, and we've, most of us have been used to this on our phones, getting, you know, asking for information when an app wants to do something. This is within the app. If you deploy that custom action, then Kaizala is going to say, hey, do you want to allow this? You can say allow, or you can say cancel. And then, of course, if you're saying cancel, you're not going to be able to use that action. But really giving that notice that to the user that they are going to be giving consent if they want for their location or their information in their profile. That's all. It's good.
Yeah.
It makes sense. It's good for security, you know, just so people understand what's being happening and what's being consented to. Because I think more people are getting more aware that they want to manage their information they're sharing with apps in general.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you haven't gone to that extent of making custom actions, it's probably not going to affect you. But if it has, then it's good to make people aware of this change. Additional information gives you a bit about managing those actions, and changes rolling out in late January 2020, finished by early February. So just a quick one.
So
This one, priority notification promotion extended to April 1st. And
yes,
that's MC199161. How'd I do, Daniel? I did it. Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah, thank you. Priority notifications, what are they for Microsoft Teams?
Being able to, for a user, to send a notification and mark it important, and then therefore other users having to, it'll be prompting them to take action on that, to view the message. And so this was rolled out, I think, when, for these urgent messages, was rolled out. And it feels like to me this was for front-end people, to be honest.
Yeah.
At least that was the, you know, a great target for this. And my first thought was like, healthcare professionals or those types that need to know something that's going on. Although, and this is kind of a sign of times, but if there's an alert of someone or an activity that's going on that everyone in the organization needs to be aware of, that may be an issue that they need to be aware of right now, being able to send an urgent message to groups of people or whatever to say, hey, something's going on. And what Microsoft is going to do is allow, if you have a regular Office 365 license, like an E3, E5, that kind of level of license, then you're going to be able to send these as much as you want. But if you're an F1, for instance, you're a frontline worker, if you have a license of that level, then you're going to be limited to the number of messages you can send per month. And we talked about this announcement and what that was going to entail. But what this is talking about is it was actually going to be up. I think it was going to be up the end of last month, maybe. December. Yeah. Yes, there it says it right there, December 31st. So now they've extended for 3 more months to be able to allow those other users to have unlimited messaging as well, urgent messaging as well.
Interesting feature. You're right. It was introduced. I think the use case they talked about was nursing and trying to get hold of priority help for a patient. And so you're getting that repetitive every 2 minutes, that urgent notification. So slightly leveled up from that important, which is just a formatting thing rather than
it's a flag.
It's a flag and you can do that, but it's actually almost a nag. But frontline, and I also read it was E1 licenses are also limited to 5 priority messages per month. So promotion wise, it's a message in the message center. It's nice they're telling us that if you've been using this for free up until now, then you get to do that through till April. They promise somewhere in the detail there that they'll give you a report coming close to the end of that or at some time to say who is using this priority notification, so that you can, if they're using it more than 5 times a month, then maybe you should give them an E3 or an E5.
Does this sound a little bit like marketing to you?
Well, yeah, I think it would fall into that category that Lauren and Alistair were talking about, which is, do I really care?
Is it relevant? Really is it relevant to me?
Yeah. So anyway,
sorry, it was terrible Alistair accent. Sorry.
I think that it is important. I think that'll be great for those that are using it to have that report. But it is, it's good that they're extending it. But I'm wondering if it's maybe that they're looking at the telemetry and people are not using it, and so they're like, mm-hmm. hey, maybe we should extend it so more people will use it. I don't know.
Yeah. Good feature. Yeah. Maybe there'll be some limitation taken off. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Who knows? Half an hour. Let's keep racing through. E-discovery for Yammer. So new feature. MC199232. Soon rolling out. So rolling out mid-January. Mm-hmm. So for new customers, data will be automatically discoverable in e-discovery. This is really Yammer being added to the e-discovery suite of things that we can already run a case on, check it out, look for keywords, look for conversations that are going on.
Finally.
Yep. It's good to know. And it's another thing that shows, you know, all that work that they had to put into to making it all be aligned with the rest of the Office mm-hmm. 365 platform. That is a part of Year of Yammer, I guess. It might not float your boat, but it's definitely a crucial feature, and it helps give some comfort to those in the org using that. What else do we need to do? Preparing for that change, existing customers will be able to turn it on. Yes. And after we release in native mode in January, it'll be available.
That's right.
A couple of Teams ones.
Yeah, so I think we could kind of take these together-ish. But
yeah.
So the first one, announcing dial-in users. I think this is MC199244. This is something that it's like, duh. I don't know. I feel like, you know, and I will say I don't like the announcement, but I do. And I'm conflicted on this feature because in general. Because when you're talking and someone comes in and goes and announces that they're joining, it disrupts the flow. It's like you're having, you know, you go in a conference room and you sit down and you're having the meeting and someone comes in late. It's like, and I don't know if you've seen that. Oh, there's a great sketch. It just came to mind where they're doing like a conference call, but in person.
Yeah.
And they're acting out. Oh, it's hilarious.
That. Yep.
But it's like it's announcing them coming and everybody just stops and like.
Looks at the person.
I just don't like, I feel like, I don't know, as a team's owner, I want to know who's in the meeting, mm-hmm. right? So that when they're accountable for what's said and all that, but I don't want it to interrupt me when I'm talking. So I'm wondering, it would be great if it did a pop-up instead. I don't know. That's a feature request, but now, so this is just announcing when dial-in users are coming in. To the bridge so that you know that someone's called in. It already does this for the it coming in through the web. So this is for dial-in users. But I don't know if you have anything else to say about that. But it's great, but I'm like, please quit interrupting me.
Yeah, you're right. That interruption. Look, interesting that you join from the desktop, and when the meeting gets to a certain number of attendees, that it will mute you immediately and say, you know, there are 10 people and the meeting's already running, so you're going to be muted when you come in.
I mean,
yeah, for four, yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, it just does it. Meeting has already started. You're muted.
But then there's this feature which will announce you as you come in, which is, you know. Kind of in conflict. The interesting thing it talks about that if you have not already done so, consider customizing your default announcement sound. I didn't know you could get sort of like, bah, 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 heralding, here comes Daniel into the meeting. All hail Daniel. You could, I don't know if it gets down to that customization.
But, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe just a light sort of flutter.
Yeah, and the other announcement for Microsoft Teams dial-in is MC199245. And this is lobby control for dial-in users. So you'll be able to control the lobby for people wanting to join the meeting via telephone. This is rolling out early February and completed by mid-February, which is a little after the one we were just talking about announcing, which is mid-January to the end of January. So this one is in February. But so, Daryl, do you use lobby a lot?
Yes, but not from a dial-in perspective. I very rarely have to dial into a Teams meeting. Good to see that it's there. So by default, anyone who phones in can now bypass the lobby, and meeting organisers can set that up as needed. Two separate lobbies, meeting options. Yeah, interesting. These messages, the screenshots are broken, but
yes, they are.
Various different PowerShell commands to set that up if you need to, within the policies. But yeah, good to see it bringing the dial-up experience back to this parity that they talked about a year ago. We were finally at parity with Skype. No, you're not. But you're almost there. Last one is really just a bump up the list, isn't it? We saw this message already.
Daryl, I saw you actually, you made a note of this or something. Yeah. I can't remember what it was. Oh, this is just a bump up. It's different than a bump up. A bump up to me is they edited the message.
Yeah.
Okay. And so it bumps up to the last updated and so it bumps up. This is
like a new delivery date.
Yeah. This is a completely new message. They deleted the old one.
Okay.
And this is a new one. And this is, but this announcing the same information. We've already covered this in the in last show.
So different ID.
It's a different ID. It's a different, completely
just a
different
message. Fuller message.
So, yeah. So I don't know why they did this, and I'm a little grumpy about it. And I'm sorry, but I'm sorry if I'm getting on my soapbox. But for us, you know, that we're using these messages and automating the response to these messages and assigning tasks to people to take care of them, and it's. This is a yet another. It's like opening up two help desk tickets for the same thing, right? Or whatever, you going through the drive through and twice and ordering the same thing and only wanting it once. And if you're going to update a message, fine, but don't delete it and then create a new message. I don't like it at all. And I'm done with my complaining, but I don't like it at all.
Yeah. Well, this shows again the differences between the different product groups and how they are using the message center, the standards that they run by, whether they update something or blank it out and rewrite it. I don't know. But if you want to get the details, then maybe I'll drop a link or something up in the.
And it's a major update, Daryl. This will make everybody mad that, you know, has problems with major updates being. They're going to get yet
another
one.
But this is
the
same major. Why has it got a different serial number? Anyway, thank you for tuning in. Thank you again to Valo for sponsoring this episode. Look, if you want to get some more deets about where to listen to the podcast and how to follow our various activities and what we're up to, then it's messagecenter.show. Is that right? Daniel takes us to that landing page.
Yep.
Great. Well, thanks again, and we'll see you again next week for episode 127. Bye for now.
Bye.